This episode contains original 9/11 audio, including emergency dispatch tapes, that listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. ...9/11, 4:05 a.m. Lower Manhattan is quiet. The Twin Towers still stand, glittering. 900 feet southwest of the towers, a phone rings. Someone inside Dr. Ron Lieberman's apartment calls his cell phone. Any other day, who cares, right? A forgettable call. But today? Later, Ron tells police that he has no memory of making the call. But he's alone in the apartment. His wife, Dr. Sneha Ann Phillip, never came home last night. So it must have been him who made the call, he says. Best guess, half asleep, he used the landline to call his cell to see if Sneha left him a voicemail. She didn't. When he went to bed around midnight, Ron figured Sneha was probably with her cousin Anu or her younger brother John, both of whom lived nearby. But he didn't call Anu or John. Instead, he went to sleep. For My Heart Media, this is Missing on 9/11, the story of one woman who vanished on the eve of history and my quest to find her. I'm your host, John Walczak. Before we go any further, let me orient you geographically. The key spots in this story are clumped together, only blocks apart, and it's important that you have some sense of place. So take a minute, open Google Maps. First, look up the World Trade Center. And just to be clear, the World Trade Center was a complex. The Twin Towers were part of the World Trade Center. Now search for these three addresses. 225 Rector Place. 900 feet southwest of the World Trade Center. This is Ron and Sneha's apartment building. 22 Cortlandt Street, just east of the Trade Center. This is Century 21, the department store, the last place that we know of where Sneha was seen alive. And 88 Greenwich Street, 600 feet east of Ron and Sneha's building and 900 feet southeast of the Trade Center. This is where Sneha's younger brother John lived, where Ron thought she may have stayed the night. 9/11. Around 6 a.m., Ron gets up for work. 6:19. Someone at the apartment gets online for about 30 seconds. 6:30. By this point, Ron had to be at the Bowling Green subway station, about a 10-minute walk from his apartment, to catch a train north toward the Bronx, where he worked at Jacoby Medical Center. He had an 8 a.m. meeting. 6:32, sunrise. Sometime between 7 and 9. According to Ron, this is when Sneha would typically come home after unexpectedly staying out for the night. 7:59, American Airlines Flight 11 takes off from Boston. 8 o'clock, Ron's work meeting starts. 8:14, terrorists hijack American 11. At the same time, United Airlines Flight 175 takes off from Boston. 8:20, American Airlines Flight 77 takes off from Washington. 8:42, terrorists hijack United Airlines Flight 175. United Flight 93 takes off from Newark. 8:43, a security camera captures a woman in the lobby of 225 Rector Place, Ron and Sneha's apartment building. She lingers, then walks out the front door. Whether or not the woman is Sneha is a matter of contention. An NYPD detective says yes. Her family says no. It's hard to tell. Sunlight streams in. There's glare, and the woman is grainy. 8:46. I don't know where you were at this exact moment, if you were even alive, but I was in an eighth grade art class in Cary, North Carolina. 9/11 changed my life. It's why I went into journalism. A year earlier, on July 25th, 2000, I visited the towers with my grandparents and brother. That day, I captured video from the plaza between the towers and from inside the South Tower. 2 minutes and 40 seconds. As I reported this story, I watched it repeatedly.
Whoa, the World Trade Center, hard to believe.
I zoom in to the top of the South Tower, then pan down.
Hey, Grandma, what do you have to say, Grandma? The tour guide, the tour, Grandpa and Dustin.
I was born on 9/8/88. I turned 13 on 9/8/01. I was a teenager in pre-9/11 America for only 72 hours.
That was an explosion.
Flight 11 crashes into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. An FBI informant taking part in a sting operation at the Marriott World Trade Center between the Twin Towers serendipitously captures this audio.
We just had a plane crash into level 4 of the World Trade Center, transmit a second alarm, and start relocating companies into the area.
8:50. Terrorists hijack American 77.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? It's Chief Al Baller from the 2-1.
Yeah.
You guys should call the Manhattan dispatch and let them know I have never seen so much smoke coming through a film as I see from the World Trade Center by the waterfront here.
It's unbelievable. They have to be on the news stations.
But they only gave a second alarm. This is like a fifth alarm on it.
It should go to a fifth instantly. You can see the side of that building. It looks like numerous floors exploded out. It's insane right now. And somebody asked for every available ambulance that they could possibly get over there. This is going to be the event of the century.
8:52. People start jumping from the towers. Emergency responders rush in. Around 9. At Jacoby Medical Center in the Bronx, Ron Lieberman's work meeting ends. Here he is on Unsolved Mysteries.
After the meeting, I came outside and we saw the TVs were on and we saw the first plane hit. So I immediately went and called home and there was just the message machine on.
9:02.
North.
Another plane. All right, I'm Ken Young. I'm going down there.
United 175 crashes into the South Tower of the World Trade Center.
No, no accident. I think I got it on tape.
Luke Kushen, a Canadian artist, captures this dramatic footage from Rector Place, south of the towers. Take a minute to Google his video. Luke, L-U-C, Kushen, C-O-U-R-C-H-E-S-N-E. See the towers? Okay, now to the left. See that brick building? That's 225 Rector Place, Ron and Sneha's building. In the lobby is resident manager Juan Figueroa.
I remember hearing like a loud boom, and I heard over the radio Jose Pardo, who was my handyman at the time, screaming over the radio saying, "They hit the building, they hit the building." And I was like, "What is he talking about?" what is he talking about? And as I went outside through the back door and I looked up, I saw that there was a hole at the in the World Trade Center. And all of a sudden my phone rang, and it happens to be my daughter, who had just given birth to a baby boy. And she said, oh my God, that's all. And I said, okay, you got to come downstairs right away. I told her, you got to come downstairs. You and your sister got to come downstairs right away.
Juan not only works at 225 Rector, he lives there too, sharing a ninth floor apartment with his wife, two daughters, and baby grandson. On 9/11, his wife is at work, but his daughters are home, upstairs, as pandemonium breaks out at the World Trade Center, only 900 feet away.
EMS, A652.
A652, we got another one at the World Trade. It's an additional building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know why these people keep calling.
This is a new one, though.
A new one?
Yeah, this is a different one, and it's confirmed.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, another plane now.
Another plane. This is a new, whole new thing now.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, what is going on?
They're saying it might be a terrorist attack.
Oh, okay. It has to be, because what are the other two planes crashing into the same building, okay?
South.
Hi, South. Are you very, very busy?
Yes. Is it Jennifer?
Yeah.
Hi, honey. What's up?
There's, like, any major disaster going on in Manhattan?
Are you in a hole, honey? Two planes went into the World Trade Center.
Really?
Yes. Where you been? Where are you?
I'm stuck on the Triber. I can't go nowhere.
Okay. Well, have a blast, because you'll be there for quite a long time.
All right.
You got lights and sirens?
Hell no. That's all around me, everywhere. I was wondering what the fuck was going on.
Two Turkish planes went into the World Trade Center.
Jeez.
We got like 64 units on this assignment already.
Christ almighty.
All right, honey.
All right.
All right. If you can make your way anywhere, let me know, okay?
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
At Jacoby Medical Center in the Bronx, Ron Lieberman's hospital, doctors start preparing for a surge of severely injured patients.
Bronx North.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
Lieutenant Cannon.
How you doing?
As per Chief Cali,
yeah.
Only trauma patients are to be brought into Jacoby and, I guess, St. Barnabas, the trauma centers.
Okay.
Any injuries, minor injuries, anything that is not critical is diverted to the other hospitals.
All right.
Okay.
You got it.
But ambulances continue to drop off patients with minor injuries.
Bronx.
Oh, yeah, it's Dr. Ben over at North Central Bronx ED. I spoke with Jacoby. You know, they're still getting some minor cases. Is it possible to have them diverted here to NCB?
I've just re-announced it twice. Over
okay.
Here for units only to bring trauma into Jacoby.
Great. We're available. We're empty.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Jacoby administrators are upset. No one seems to be listening. They emptied out the ER to make space for severe cases.
Fire Department, EMS, citywide.
Hi, it's Dr. Lombardi. I was speaking to the other receptionist earlier. I'm at Jacoby. Is she there? Tarosi, whatever her name is?
Tarosi? Amanda. I don't know where she's at right now.
All right, so here's my problem. You know, we're at Jacoby, level one trauma center, hyperbaric, burn center. I cleaned out the ER for, you know, any possible patients. I asked for diversion for anything else. They're rolling in here with bullshit. I think it's a big mistake. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like
so
someone...
Jacoby, all hospitals right now is open for the emergency.
All right, I'll tell you what. When Captain Tobin gets a chance, let me give you a phone number and have him call me, okay?
Hold on.
Captain Tobin.
Hi, Cap. Gary Lombardi, Jacoby.
How are you doing,
Just
Doc?
Trying to bring you up to date. I emptied the whole ER. We're trying to empty out the burn unit. I'm just asking if you don't send us any bullshit in the meantime, we can help you with whatever you need, okay?
All right, we'll try.
Thanks, bye.
Right.
In Manhattan, at 225 Rector, Juan Figueroa is frantically trying to evacuate his family.
So I grabbed my grandson and my daughter, and I took them towards the water, and I happened to... as I'm walking, hearing my daughter saying, my older daughter, who's against the fence across the building, saying, I'm going to die here. And luckily, we were able to get her to the water, and then I went back to the building and started evacuating the entire building.
So you did? How did you guys evacuate the building? Did you go door to door? What did you do exactly?
Door to door. We went from the top all the way down, door to door. There was another gentleman actually with us as well. His name was Julio Estevez. So it was Julio Estevez, Felix Pagan, Ann Croak, and myself. And we just started knocking on people's doors, just trying to rush people out of the building.
9:28. Terrorists hijack United 93. 9:37.
Did you hear they just hit the Pentagon in Washington?
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, and they just had a fire in one of the malls at Washington.
American 77 crashes into the Pentagon. 9:59.
Look at that. Look at that. That building's coming down?
The South Tower collapses. A man named Brandon Marcus captures this footage. Pause. Google it. Brandon Marcus, 9/11, video. As the tower falls, look at the bottom left corner. That's 225 Rector Place, Ron and Sneha's building.
Holy shit! That was fucking crazy! Oh, shit.
Juan Figueroa, the resident manager, is in the lobby of 225 Rector.
It was so loud, but it was like an extremely loud clap, and it just kept on happening, like you know, it was kind of weird. I don't know how to explain it, but it was very loud and just going doom 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 doom, like something just kept on falling down.
18 seconds after the tower starts to collapse, a massive cloud of pulverized concrete, steel, office furniture, paper, and people reaches and consumes 225 Rector Place. Juan, in the lobby, panics. His coworker, Julio Estevez, is still stuck on the roof.
And then all of a sudden, I see the rush of the smoke, of the debris, just rushing into the lobby where you couldn't see barely anymore. You know, it's just like got really dark too fast and too quickly. And then the guy that was up on the roof just ran down the stairs and he ran out the building.
Yeah.
It's Ida screaming on the radio for 13.
Why?
Because the building just collapsed on them.
Are you shitting me?
No. 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 No.
Yeah, the whole building's gone. All right, relax.
You don't know what it's like up here.
I can only imagine. The whole fucking city is full of smoke right now. Holy shit, look at this thing fall.
Right.
And it fell right through the middle down. The whole building collapsed.
Lieutenant Brown, Ladder 18, one of the towers just collapsed. Everyone's got to be inside of it.
Yes, we received that transmission. Ladder 18 saying one of the towers collapsed. There's got to be people inside it.
There's got to be thousands of people inside.
Got tower two?
One of the towers just came down on top of everybody.
Got to come in at Citywide.
Citywide, it's Dr. Churson from Medical Affairs. One of the towers just collapsed. I can't tell what the extent of the damage is, but
okay.
There is a complete whiteout from the dust from the tower.
Okay.
We have the potential, and I stress the potential, for having lost most of our resources at the scene.
Okay.
Where's the tour commander?
He's right here. Hold on.
Thank you.
Captain Tobin.
Hey, Alan Churson.
Who's this?
Alan Churson.
Yes, doctor, yes.
We just lost part of the towers.
Yes.
Collapsed.
Yes, I know.
We have a complete whiteout.
Yes.
We have the potential for having lost a significant amount of our resources.
Right.
I am not able to raise anybody who's in command at this point. I don't know if you can.
It's all fragmented because of this.
That's about all the information I have for you.
All right, Doc.
If you can't raise anybody...
Where are you?
Hold on a second. Where is this place? Yeah. I'm on a restaurant in Fulton and Broadway. It was so bad, I could not even see the building.
Understood.
All right. I'm going to start heading back down there.
Alrighty, Doc.
To see what I can do.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That was-
In the Bronx, Ron Lieberman watches catastrophe unfold on live TV.
When the buildings came down, everyone was just, you know, people were crying, but still trying to work. And it was a very, very emotional time, I think, for obviously for everyone. I called back again about 10 o'clock in the morning. Still, just the message machine was on. And then after that, the phones went dead.
Ron can't find Sneha. 10:03, United 93 crashes into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
It's fucking bad. This is really bad. What's the president's just not there?
Yeah, I noticed. It's terrible, terrible.
He's gonna go fucking crazy, you know that?
Yeah.
He's gonna go fucking berserk.
Well, we'll find out who it is.
Oh, of course. All right.
Okay, goodbye.
Oh, wow.
At 225 Rector, a police officer, choking on dust, calls 911.
8612. Okay, 8612. Hi, this is PD1470 in Manhattan at 225 Rector Place.
In Manhattan, right?
Yes.
225 Rector?
Yes.
As in R-E-C-T-O-R?
That's correct.
Rector Place. The caller hung up?
Yes.
What'd they tell you?
It's a police officer. He's on the first floor. He has difficulty breathing.
Unknown age?
Unknown.
10:28. The North Tower collapses.
My heart is in my throat. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. Man, oh, I want to kill them myself. The World Trade Center is no longer 110 floors. I cannot believe both of them. And they came down on firefighters.
I know that. I know that. I have two sons in the job. Listen,
Ron Lieberman worries that Sneha was in their apartment when the towers fell.
I was frightened for my wife because I couldn't get in touch with her. I was sad with what happened, devastated by the whole situation. You know, there's so many emotions. Everyone is in shock. And where is my wife? I don't know.
The crush of severely injured patients never materializes at Jacoby or any other hospital. Around 3 p.m., Ron hops into an ambulance and heads into Lower Manhattan. At the same time, Juan Figueroa, the resident manager at 225 Rector, finally evacuates. He catches a boat to New Jersey. Between 3 and 4, Ron calls Sneha's mom, Anzu. She hasn't heard from Sneha. No one has. 5:20. 7 World Trade, a 47-story office building, collapses. Manhattan is chaos and gridlock. Ron's journey south from the Bronx, only 15 miles, takes 5 to 6 hours. Early evening, somewhere north of the World Trade Center, Ron jumps out of the ambulance. He walks the rest of the way to 225 Rector Place. In scrubs, he slips through barricades and walks into carnage.
The scene down there was just chaos. It was this one of the most scariest sights I've ever seen in my life. As I started approaching my apartment building, I started seeing trucks blown up, fire engines turned upside down, pieces of the building, or what looked like the building, on the ground also.
7-Eleven. Sunset. 8:30.
Good evening. Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts.
President George W. Bush addresses the nation. As he speaks, Ron Lieberman walks south.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me.
Past smoldering steel and a frenetic search for survivors. Between 9 and 10, Ron arrives at 225 Rector Place. The back door is chained shut. The power is out. The building has been evacuated. but at least one tenant remains inside. Ron flashes a light to that person, calls up to them, and asks them to check his and Sneha's apartment to see if Sneha is there. She isn't. Next time on Missing on 9/11.
And then I saw her name, and then I put it together. Wait a minute. I think this has to be her. I mean, it looks like her. I think it looks like it. It looks like what I remember. It looks like the person I remember.
Homework. 1. Did you live at 225 Rector Place on 9/11? We'd love to hear from you. In particular, we want to speak to a tenant named Evan, who reportedly filmed the attacks from the roof. 2. Do you, or does anyone you know, have unpublished photos or video taken in Lower Manhattan on 9/11? If so, you can reach us by phone at 1-833-NEW-TIPS. That's 1-833-639-8477. Again, 1-833-639-8477. Or you can reach us via email at tips@iheartmedia.com. That's tips, T-I-P-S, @iheartmedia.com. Ben Bolin is our executive producer. Paul Deccant is our supervising producer. Chris Brown is our assistant producer. Seth Nicholas Johnson is our producer. Sam Teagarden is our research assistant. And I'm your host and executive producer, John Walczak. Cover art by Pam Peacock. Special thanks to Tamika Campbell at iHeart and to Christoph Zappari in New Orleans. Also, thank you to Juan Figueroa and Aesop Rock. Original theme music by Aesop Rock. Check out Aesop's website at aesoprock.com. Archival audio from Unsolved Mysteries provided by Cosgrove Mirror Productions. Additional footage captured by Luke Kushen and Brandon Marcus. You can find me on Twitter at John Walczak, JONWALCZAK. If you like this show, check out our first season, Missing in Alaska, about the 1972 disappearance of two congressmen. Missing on 9/11 is a co-production of iHeartMedia and Greenfort Media.